So we're recording new Rebel Radio Podcast YouTube promos today, but Frank, where's Matt?
I think he's still off manscaping, remember?
What the hell? Manscaping for what?
Remember you told him that if he did it, that you would let him do the scene from Not Another Teen Movie?
Him and his Chris Evans obsession. I wasn't serious.
Yeah, he's going to be itching for weeks.
Oh, man. He's in a lot of trouble. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. Welcome to another new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is your host, Mark, and with me, as always, the dynamic duo, Batman and Robin wannabes,
Matt, the electric monkey,
Frank T. Biscuit.
We are hanging out today in the home, and I'm blurring my words. We've been doing a lot today.
It's been a busy day.
We've been filming some new Rebel Radio Podcast promos for you. We're going to talk a little bit about this. It's kind of our first annual spring Rebel Radio Podcast cookout recording session.
Oh, yeah. We had some good food, some good burgers, and we did some cool stuff.
Yeah. And this is all. We do this for you, the fans of TrustMeOnJedi.com, where you will find the Rebel Radio Podcast and our brother or sister podcast, The Warp Cave. And Long, the evil Dr. Tran, was hanging out with us today. He couldn't stick around for the podcast, but
he had some evil stuff to do.
Yeah, he had evil stuff to do.
Lots of evil stuff to go do.
You can see, you'll see him in the
promos. Pick up his mom?
Probably so. Yeah. And the first wave of YouTube Rebel Radio promos, if you haven't seen them, they're on our page at the YouTube channel through TrustMeOnJedi.com. We did some movie. We kind of did these off the wall movie spoofs, and the whole idea is they're not perfect, but you get the picture. We may not have all the money to buy all the costumes and everything, but we have fun with it. In the first wave, we did a very brief preview of the Star Wars Force Awakens first trailer, where Frank played a John Boyega's character, and he popped his head up like he was in the desert, lost, and it was pretty funny.
It was.
And then we did Mad Max: The Road Warrior, and where Matt was Mad Max, and he's just looking for the gasoline, and Frank played a version of the Humongous,
yes.
Which was quite humorous.
Oh, you know, if everybody gets a close-up of me, which unfortunately they will soon, they can say that I'm pretty humongous.
Right.
Humongous.
And then we did the third one we did last time was, of course, the spoof on Predator, where Dylan and Schwarzenegger's character meet at the beginning of the movie, and
the best handshake ever.
Yeah, you son of a bitch.
and they played well on YouTube. You guys went out and y'all watched them and y'all showed us support, and we really appreciate it. And we wanted to bring you a second wave, and we recorded four more today. One which we're going to keep secret until you actually see it, and that might be the one that Frank was referring to. We're not going to discuss that one, but we did some special effects this time, some weapons. We used swords, we used firecrackers, and we used dramatic effects.
Yeah, and we killed people, too.
Yes.
Real people died making these promos. With a trident.
Really? I thought it was just a few puppies and kittens.
Oh, well, it could be. But
was that just me in the back?
We all remember it different, Frank.
And
maybe it was just me with the kids.
We're not going to totally tell you the movies we spoofed this time, because that's the whole idea of the Rebel Radio Podcast. When you see them, we hope we do enough that you figure out what they were.
Exactly.
But we put our all into it, and I will have at least some behind the scenes photos up on the website in the next couple of days before we get these edited together, and I hope to have them to you all by the end of the week.
Can I put a disclaimer on what you just said?
Sure.
You said we put our all into it. Just remember, people, we don't have a lot.
Yeah, but. TrustMeOnJedi.com is all about fun, the Rebel Radio Podcast, and we appreciate our listeners and everything that y'all do in supporting us. And do y'all have anything to add to the fun we had today here?
Oh, man, I hope the listeners enjoy it. It was fun making it. It's fun, you know, rolling around, doing what we did, and man, you guys are in for a treat. It's we recorded some cool stuff today.
Now, it was lots of fun today. I mean, we had friends and family over and barbecued, and, you know, I pulled some pork. I mean, I made some pulled pork. You know, everybody quite enjoyed it.
And if you're frightened when you do see these promos, we apologize in advance, because, like I said, they're not perfect, but you get the picture. And So that's what's going on today at Rebel Radio, and this is just the beginning of the episode. We're fixing to talk about some big stuff that happened this week, and a couple of big trailers to hit the world, and people are just buzzing left and right about them.
Oh yeah, there's a lot out there right now.
And that's today on the Rebel Radio podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
Comic-Palooza 2015 is almost here. You'll see your favorite celebrities, comic book creators, and authors. Hear super cool musical acts. Experience crazed cosplay events. Rowdy professional wrestlers. Raucous roller derby girls. Literally thousands of hours of programming and so much more. Remember, Comic-Palooza at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas. Memorial Day weekend, May 22nd to 25th. Get your passes today. Head over to www.comicpalooza.com for all the details.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
All right, so we are here on the Rebel Radio podcast, found at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com, and we just talked about some of the fun we are having here today as we film new promos for you, and what's been an epic week for the geek world, and I feel we made it more epic today with the filming of our promos, or maybe we scared the world. I don't know.
With the help from Hydra.
But the Thursday was the big one. Star Wars The Force Awakens released a new trailer. Star Wars Celebration is going on this week in Anaheim. And people knew the trailer was coming. I think a lot of people were expecting it in a couple weeks in front of the new Avengers film. And but it hit Thursday, and immediately it buzzed across the world like wildfire. You looked at your Facebook feeds, your Twitter feeds, you couldn't escape it. Like, there were a couple people on Friday that I knew were into geek stuff, didn't see. I'm like, how did you not see the trailer? It was everywhere.
And I mean, I don't think there was a person on my Facebook that practically didn't reshare or post it or something.
And it's funny the differences in a few months. When the trailer hit in December, the first trailer, people were buzzing about it, but they still had that prequel taste in their mouth, I think, that they were being optimistic about J.J. Abrams and what it held, and they were excited, but not like I've seen in the last two or three days. I think the excitement is at a fever pitch, and I think that has a lot to do with the fact that we get glimpses of some famous characters in this one. Obviously, the narrator's Luke, and he throws a curveball with what he narrates when he says, I had it, my father had it, my sister had it, you have that power too. And, of course, the world is speculating as to who this person is. And I, for one, think they're throwing us for a loop. I don't think it's an offspring of Luke's or anybody. I think it's just someone that found Luke and they happen to have the Force. That's just my personal theory.
It could be. Because the obvious thing would be either Luke and Han's kid or Luke's kid.
I'm thinking grandchildren.
A grandchild?
Yeah, I'm thinking a grandchild. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we come to find out that, you know, either Luke's had children or Leia had and Han had children and they died and their kid or kids were left behind and, you know, and they never had a chance to train in the Force, so it could have been like a niece or nephew or even one of his own grandchildren, you know.
It's a possibility, and you know, like I said, there are all kinds of people who have their different theories out there, and one of the interesting things is that's definitely Luke's lightsaber from The Empire Strikes Back that's handed to whoever is handing Luke's lightsaber.
Well, it said sister, then he hands it over.
And there have been screenshots online that show it's definitely Luke's saber from Empire, the one he loses on Bespin when he gets his hand cut off. Mm-hmm. And so that ties the films together. And there's a lot of interesting shots. We get a good look at what we assume is Kylo Ren, the bad guy. We get a look at his face, leading armies of stormtroopers. And another character holding a gun with a mask on, which people wonder who it is. There's been some talk online that it's like their name is Captain Phasma or something, all these kind of bizarre science fiction names, you know. And which is what Star Wars originally was supposed to be. It was supposed to be like the old movie serials with kind of off-the-wall names. Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, you know. And I think J.J. Abrams is trying to bring that back, you know, get back to what Star Wars was supposed to be. And one of the coolest shots of the trailer was the opening scene with the Star Destroyer in the desert.
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a mountain, it's a space station.
Well, people always... It's not a moon. You totally screwed that line.
Well, I tried to adapt it to... Hey, dude, you know what I
Star Wars fans everywhere are going to tackle you now.
It wasn't me. It was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You know. But, you know, the one of the coolest things about when you saw Star Wars when you were a child was the Star Destroyer at the beginning of the film coming over, and you're like, wow, that's really cool, you know? And this scene is reminiscent of that. Like, this Star Destroyer in the desert crash, you're like, it was really, really breathtaking, even for a trailer.
Yeah.
And, at first, I didn't even recognize it, what it was, until I really looked, because it's buried in sand.
And I'm like, I kind of like the scale that it gives.
Yeah.
Of everything.
It's like, this has been years of war. Years later, epic, and obviously the Empire is back in some form from the looks of it.
But you know, technically, since they pretty much threw everything out the window that took place, you know, all the books and other storylines out the window of the Return of the Jedi, just because they had a little party and everything on the planet doesn't mean the fighting stopped there.
Right.
I mean, there's bunches and bunches of
remnants of the Empire.
Yeah, fleets still out there that are still fighting. They don't know the Emperor's dead.
It's true.
You know, they kept fighting on.
And then the trailer goes on. I mean, there's so much you can talk about in a minute and a half. And obviously the money shot at the end where you see the Millennium Falcon going down in the desert. And then we see, I mean, Han and Chewie. I mean, you know, as much as people think, oh, Harrison's getting old, that was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
But Chewie didn't look like he aged a day.
Well, no. I mean, he's Chewie, you know. But just to see Han and Chewie and say, Chewie, we're home, is you referring to Millennium Falcon? Are we seeing Han's home planet, Corellia? You know, what are we seeing there? You know, what were they referring to that? That's another whole idea of speculation.
Did we get a little bit more background with them?
That brief moment was just, like, it's like your childhood. In one single shot, just from a trailer. So can you imagine what we're going to get when we get the full two-hour film in December?
A lot.
You know, I was thinking, too, about the marketing of this film. You know, J.J. Abrams is great at keeping secrets. Wouldn't you love, from now until December, to have a series of just these one-minute trailers, 1.5 minutes, and never do a story trailer? Like, did you guys see the new Terminator trailer? I don't know, we've done an episode since the last trailer came out. It gives away this twist in the film.
It does.
It's terrible.
I've been waiting for you.
And I'm not going to tell listeners if you haven't watched it, because I don't want to spoil it for them. But don't watch the new Terminator trailer if you haven't seen it. It throws the twist of the film at you, and it's just like, it really is a bad trailer. All of a sudden, I went from having Terminator Genesis maybe in the top five on my list, and it's honestly out of the top five now. I was really disappointed with the new trailer.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes a trailer could ruin an entire movie.
And, yeah, you take away the mystery of the movie.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, whenever you're dating a woman, you know, you don't want to see everything on the first date, because you're like, whoa, wait, that's what I was getting into? Or, never mind. No more surf and turf for you. That's my take.
At least it wasn't Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Oh, then we have to go there.
It's okay. I will stay Chris Evans free.
You know, so since Thursday, I personally watched the thing probably 10 times. I'm not going to lie. You know, it's an incredible trailer. I think there's not a person in the world, unless you're just an idiot not into Star Wars, isn't looking forward to that movie come December. And it's obviously probably my number one movie of the year to look forward to. I know in our last episode we talked about the summer movies we're looking forward to, but nothing in my book ever trumps Star Wars, ever. Not Mad Max, not Avengers, not Ant-Man. Star Wars is the one that I'm looking forward to this year. And that being said, we move on. We could geek out all day about Star Wars and our speculation on what The Force Awakens is going to be about. But this week, there was also a second trailer. Disney and Lucasfilm had their moment Thursday. Warner Brothers, DC Comics said, wait a minute, we can't let them have all the glory. They had announced Thursday morning that there were going to be IMAX screenings where you could go watch the new trailer for Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, on Monday night in IMAX. But Warner Brothers, by their own fault, released this thing overseas already, so some guy with his camcorder or a cell phone video was able to record it and put it online Thursday night, and the trailer. And so Warner Brothers kind of was given no choice but to release it officially Friday evening, and we all got to see our first look at Ben Affleck as Batman, Bruce Wayne, and our first look at Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. And my initial reaction to the trailer was it felt a little underwhelming after Star Wars. You know, and people that know me know I love Batman. I've got a tattoo of Batman's logo on me. I love Batman. He's probably my favorite comic book character in the world. And I'm still looking forward to the movie. But the trailer, on first reaction, I was like, that's it? But then I went back and watched it. And the more I watch it, the more I like it. I like the build-up. The idea of Superman has become sort of a demigod after the events of Man of Steel. Some people blame him for the destruction of Metropolis. Other people hold him to a higher standard.
And the fact that really the governments really don't know what he's about, who, you know, right. what his capabilities fully sure. are, if he's a threat.
And it was so dark. The trailer was so dark.
Yeah, definitely darker. And then you get a look at Bruce Wayne watching these images going on, and it looks like there's been rumors that they're going the myth of Batman has been around for a while, and he's the urban. He's an urban myth, and it looks like they are taking that route. He's the detective, the urban myth, and he, I guess for some reason he's going to feel the need to go to Metropolis or Goth or whatever, and see what the Superman is about from the looks of things. And one thing I have to say that I was convinced of, if and I've been on the Affleck train since the beginning. I know some people weren't. If you're not now, Affleck looks pretty cool as Batman. He's bulked up. He looked badass. He looked like he could take on Superman. You know,
pretty much.
Compared to Christian Bale's Batman, as much as I love the Nolan films, you look at Bale's Batman compared to Affleck's, I don't know if Bale's Batman could have taken on Superman. You know? He was more of the...
Maybe. It just depends on, you know,
I mean,
what you have to do. But that's here nor there.
Well,
look,
in Bale's defense, just to touch on it, his weapons were created... You know, whenever a certain instance created the need for that
right.
weapon.
It was more science.
And so I think it's just Batman in general. I mean, you have yeah. to generalize it as just Batman. Yeah. Because then Superman comes up and there's a different commission for Fox or whoever is going to commission this these weapons that Batman's going to use. Obviously, he's going to need more than just big old fists to take on a man that could throw a semi-truck into a tree or whatever that was.
He's going to need more than just his basic bat suit, you know.
Mm-hmm. But definitely, man. I mean, there's a big bulky difference. It's like bodybuilder yeah. Batman and Kung Fu Ninja Batman.
I think even Adam West Batman would probably kick some butt if he was in a giant pretty bulky robot suit going up against Superman.
True.
And it was a darker, like... grayish black costume, which I thought was cool, more like Frank Miller-esque, you know.
I think you have to make it a little different than the Christopher Nolan one, because you don't want Nolan 2.0 as your Batman.
And of course we got no shots of Wonder Woman in the trailer, which was expected, because I think from what we've heard, her part in the film is a little bit smaller. Of course it's called Dawn of Justice, we already know they're leading to the Justice League films and this is the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. And but the cool shot at the end was Superman flying up above Batman in his armor, and then he says, "Do you bleed? We'll find out." I think that was a line, and I don't know. Was that? It was. I guess it was supposed to be Batman's voice. It sounded like they ran his voice through a filter. I thought that was a little weird. Mm-hmm. It's like, why not have Affleck's regular voice? You know, It sounded a little strange to me. But you know, Zack Snyder did say somewhere that Batman will sound very different than you've heard him before. So I don't know if they're doing something to his voice in the film. Maybe we'll know more when we see future trailers.
Maybe it's the whole thing of keeping his identity. It's like maybe a voice changer in his mask. I don't know.
My thing is like, you know, I don't dog Affleck too much. You know, he doesn't do every role great, but he does do a lot of great roles. And, you know, and I'm just wanting to see how much he makes this Batman his. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, to me, there's already three Batman. You have Adam West, Michael Keaton, and, our last favorite Batman.
Christian Bale.
Exactly. So now my question is, can Ben Affleck be the number four of the, let's say, light Batman character, you know, actors?
Well.
Because we know who the others were, you know, you know. Great actors, nonetheless. Come on, George Clooney is absolutely a spectacular actor.
But he's known as
Bat Nipples. But he ain't no Batman.
He's known as Bat Nipples.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have Tombstone over there who played another Batman, and he's known as Bat Lips. Yeah, he's pouty lips.
Bat Lips.
I think the biggest thing.
Is that like Mad Lips?
I know, right?
I think the biggest thing I took from the two trailers this week is that I want to see the movies, for sure. And I want to see more. Like it's funny because with Star Wars, I said, you know, with The Force Awakens, I'd love to see a series of minute and a half trailers and not give away too much. But with Batman vs. Superman, I want to see more. I want to see a little bit more why they're fighting, why it's called versus Superman. I want to see more of, I want to see Lex Luthor. I want to see Jesse Eisenberg, what he's in it for, mm-hmm. what he's about. I'd like to see actually a little bit of Superman Batman fighting, and, you know.
I wouldn't almost put a doubt that Lex Luthor kind of puts a bug in Batman's ear of, And that's what causes the whole fight between them to begin
with. They're both wealthy men.
And that's been another thing. There's also been a lot of rumor that Lex Luthor's part in this is all background. That there's been a lot of rumor that he has Zod's body and that it's all... He's all background noise to set up future DC things. Like, there's been a lot of talk that through Zod, somehow he maybe in the future creates Doomsday and we get Doomsday in a Justice League film or something like that.
I think you have to get
Doomsday. And there's been a lot of talk that Luthor's kind of the background bad guy in this film. And we'll see, though. It's all,
no, and that's what makes a great Lex Luthor is a background super
he's a manipulator.
Mind. Yeah. He's the one that manipulates all the powerful bad guys. You know,
and that's the Lex Luthor we haven't seen in a while. I mean, even whenever he was in the Christopher Reeve Batman series, didn't seem like he was taken very seriously after the.
No, he was still kind of campy, and he believed he was a mastermind with his plot schemes, but he was never that.
Seemed like a used car salesman kind of Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
He's more of a. I mean, Hackman was great in the role. Don't get me wrong; he's one of the best actors of our time. But, but he was much more. It was that '70s style. I think you were coming off the Batman. Bruce, you mentioned Adam West earlier, the campy Batman. Then Superman was the first big comic book movie, so he still it was serious, but had a campy side to it.
Right.
And Lex Luthor to me is just that character that he doesn't carry a villain role for the whole film. In a sense, he can't be the only villain in the.
And
film.
That was part of the problem with Superman Returns is You had everything in the film was great about it, except for Luthor. You had a great Kevin Spacey, who's another great actor. You know, we've had this. That's one thing. We've had three great actors now playing Lex Luthor. Because I'd say Jesse Eisenberg is a great actor too, and Spacey just the plot was ridiculous. Trying to turn the planet into Krypton or the moon or whatever it was. And it's like Frank said, you needed something else to help drive that plot. Luthor just wasn't strong enough. You know, if it had been Brainiac coming to the planet and having Luthor do this Krypton thing, it would have made more sense.
Or Mr. Freeze, huh?
That's a Batman villain.
Yeah, that would have been a total spin on the whole thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We would have had like the Penguin and the Joker like show up too with Kryptonite.
That's right.
And be like, we ain't messing with Batman no more because he keeps kicking our butt.
It's not the only thing coming from Gotham to take on your butt in red tights. Huh? Superman? Super Dude? False God?
Yeah.
You like my Batman kryptonite trailer?
Now? I love that's my favorite part.
Here's what's interesting. There's a statue of Superman right in Metropolis. That's what it's supposed to be. So
yeah.
I had heard that this takes place right after Man of Steel, but obviously it's several months later.
Well, maybe like the beginning of it takes place right after, but then it kind of like takes time. Because
they build a statue of him and then someone spray paints on it False God.
False God.
You know? A lot of interesting things. Oh, did you see on the line there's a Riddler... ? With a podium somewhere in there?
No.
Yeah, it's like a little hidden Easter egg. Yeah, it might be alluding to future Batman films, because I think if DC is going to do a solo Batman film, I think I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Riddler, since we saw the Joker, and we're seeing the Joker in the Suicide Squad movie next year.
Right.
And we didn't see the Riddler in the Nolan film, so I think that DC, when they do a Batman film, may go the route of a Riddler/Joker kind of villain type thing, you know, which would make sense. I mean, that's all speculation, but, you know.
Yeah, and you've got Deadshot, and you might as well just make this a full campaign and load it full of villains.
But I think the biggest thing we take from this, as fans of this stuff, this week has been these last few days have been pretty awesome. And the only thing that's going to be better is when these films hit theaters.
Heck yeah.
You know,
and they're all coming this year.
Well, Batman next March.
Next March.
You know. Yeah, we got a while to wait for that one.
And But
it's not like we can complain. This whole entire year is loaded with a lot of goodness.
We've got a lot of stuff to look forward to in the next few weeks. And we will be talking about all these things throughout the year on the Rebel Radio Podcast. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com.
You Sith.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it.
Comic Palooza 2015 is almost here. You'll see your favorite celebrities, comic book creators, and authors. Hear super cool musical acts. Experience crazed cosplay events, rowdy professional wrestlers, raucous roller derby girls, literally thousands of hours of programming, and so much more. Remember, Comic Palooza at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas, Memorial Day weekend, May 22nd to 25th. Get your passes today. Head over to www.comicpalooza.com for all the details.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zabzik from The Same, and you're listening to...
Rebel Radio. And you can find that on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
You're a Jedi?
So this has been another exciting episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. It's been a great Sunday afternoon.
Man.
Filmed some new Rebel Radio promos, which we will have up on the website, hopefully by the end of the week. And
yeah, man. Hopefully we can pump those out for you pretty quick. Maybe within the week, so you guys can have something new on Friday while you're waiting for that clock to hit 4:30 or 5 whenever you get out.
Just encourage us at the office and watch YouTube videos.
That's right. Just all huddle around one computer.
That's what most people just do anyway.
Yeah, pretty much.
And also, we want to thank the evil Dr. Tran Long for joining us for the promos today, even though he wasn't able to stay and be on the podcast. And listen to his show, The Warp Cave, which you can find at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. He's doing a weekly Game of Thrones thing now, so if you're into Game of Thrones, listen to what he has to say about the episodes and the synopsises and things that he gives on his episode. It's a great show. I've done a couple episodes with him, and we are very glad to have him as part of our programming. And you guys, anything to add?
Oh, man. I'm excited for Ultron coming up. We got a big movie coming up. You know, it might not be as big as Star Wars, but you know what? I'm going to take it as I can get it.
And that's a good lead-in, because the next episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, we are going to be discussing our top 10 favorite Marvel films ever, and not just Marvel Universe, all Marvel films going back to X-Men back in 2000. And, you know, might even sneak in some Dolph Lundgren Punisher. I doubt it, but, you know.
if you guys, I mean, feel free to message us on Facebook or email us if you have a Marvel movie that you would want us to talk about, good or bad. Maybe it's your bottom 10 and not your top 10, but you want us to analyze it and, you know, get our opinion on it. There may be Elektra and, you know, how what we think of Elektra. You know, just... you know, talk to us.
So just don't be mad if we hate it.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But like the Electric Monkey said, make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Tumblr, all those things.
And please give us likes.
Yeah, give us likes.
Share the content. And we hope you've enjoyed this new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. And as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, and with me has been...
Frank T. Biscuit.
Matt the Electric Monkey.
This is your host, Mark. Until next time...
Keep it classy, San Diego.
Ha ha ha.